Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shank. Captain Kevin Favor is out of pocket tonight.
R&D.
Well, yeah, I guess we want to call it that. Good evening, Captain Chip Wingo.
Good evening.
Michael is bringing it to you guys tonight. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
It is that time of year where we worked hard all summer long.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't anymore, but it is hunting season. I mean, you know, it's what it is. So, anyhow, I guess the rut's going... getting ready to get fired up in Georgia, and you guys are going to be busy.
Yeah, we got another good marsh hen tide coming.
Wait, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, good. And speaking of that, oh, good gosh, that whole last week was just, yeah.
You ought to see the sheep's head that are up there right now.
Up in the grass?
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of big ones in the grass right now.
And I'll tell you, between that, we're on a full moon. Actually, full moon, I believe, is Saturday night. And... So, yeah, we've been living all week on kind of like brutal water flow. You know, I mean, it's been it when it starts going out and or coming in, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, and, you know, it's back in the grass and or the opposite. It's like every oyster bed's being shown. But we did fight a lot of northeast last week. But again, Chip, I got to bring it up, and it's more, I'm not going to say it's totally on my account, but I, through all the years of fishing out of St. Augustine and all that, you never really much heard the word snook, okay? And I have to tell you, they are everywhere right now.
Yeah, they're all over the river in Jacksonville.
Creeks, I mean, I'm catching them in places that, you know... you know, you never think of, okay, sure, hey, let's go to the jetties, and we fish the jetties. Sure, you would think of catching them somewhere along that kind of style, you know, because of bait being present and blah, 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 blah. But I think I talked about it last week, but I went up in a creek that, I mean, is shallow, but it has some deep holes in it. And, dude, I lost one in there. I want her so bad, and I keep going back and going back, and I ain't found her yet. She had me one day right there, and my gosh, I mean, she's got to be 20 pounds all day long, and that's the biggest snook I've never caught one that big in around here, about 35 inches, 34 inches, the biggest one. She was so big, she could only get her head out of the water when she jumped twice.
There's a lot of big fish around. I think a lot of these fish that we had before the freeze, the fish that made it through it, I think, are becoming predisposed to cold weather, or
uh-huh.
They're able to deal with it. You know, there's tons of them being caught in cast nets, too, little fry. You know,
yeah.
They're 8-10 inches long.
But I'm just saying, whoever would have thunked it? You know, I mean, in all the years fishing out of St. Augustine, I mean, and all the time I still spent in the same creeks that I'm fishing now, 20 or 25 years, I never caught a snook in there.
We always say there's no gates and no fences,
I know.
No doors.
Well, I mean, and this year I caught a legit 19-inch mutton snapper in the river. I mean, really? You know? And on Monday, which I thought it was really, really cool, I caught five grouper and three different species of grouper. Believe it or not, I got three little gag groupers, caught a red grouper. What the hell a red grouper was doing in the gags, I could kind of understand, but a red grouper, to me, is something that really starts out in like 120 foot of water or better. You know, I mean, you never really catch a little red grouper in shore for the most part, you know, so that was weird. And then I caught a baby Goliath, a baby jewfish.
Nice.
And it was like, wow, that's, you know, I mean.
Well, that's kind of like all the lobsters that are underneath the Komatsu docks.
Yeah, that's true, too.
There's tons of them in there.
Have you ever dove around there? Yeah, I talk to the divers down there all the time, scrubbing the boats and stuff like that, and they keep me on the 411 on the lobster count down there.
Yeah, see? I had to go under when I was running one of the boats, one of the boats we had out of Komachi. I had to go check out a wheel that we shined one day, and I was coming back up, and I looked, and there's tentacles everywhere. Mm. I'm like, so I started looking around, and I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, they're in between the floaters.
Yeah, yep. Hiding in those little cracks where the, yeah, it's nuts.
Where the docks pin together at. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, that. So, I mean, for me, probably so far for the year, is just the amount of snook that I have caught that I'm not looking to catch, where there's guys up here in Mayport and stuff like that that go throw those shallow diver plugs. Or, you know, they're looking for them, and they catch them. But, I mean, just the oddity of where I've been catching them and – we always talk about it. We always think of a black drum, okay, like a February, March, maybe an April kind of situation. And again, maybe November and December. But we had the best drum bite we ever had. At least, I think you'll agree, September and October was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I put some serious numbers up in August on black drum.
July and August were really good for black drum, too. Corey and Leon and I got on a pretty good bite of them in a spot we were fishing. In deeper water where it rolls down from like 6 to 22 to 20 feet, 24 feet of water. But, Buzz had caught a tarpon on a sheep's head jig on a fiddler. I've got a video.
Really?
Yeah. Out at the rocks.
Really?
That's crazy. Well, pass crabs, they eat pass crabs.
Why wouldn't they eat a fiddler?
So,
yeah.
There's been a lot of unique catches this year. I mean, we had that bonnethead that would have broke the record.
Mm-hmm.
That we let go, that bottomed out a 30-pound bugger grip.
Yep.
You know, caught a lot of, you know, strange fish for the time of year. Lots of pompano in a really strange time.
Right, right.
You know, and those were coming on those curly tail dirty boxers by Fish Bites on a popping cork, of all things.
Yep.
And they were slamming it and eating the whole thing when they ate it. So
I haven't seen any of those yet. I haven't caught any pompanos yet.
Yeah, we're catching them on... The main areas we were catching them were if you have a rocky, shelly bank that slow slopes down to about 5-6 feet of water, they were all over it. And if you want to locate them, you can actually, this sounds crazy, but you can putt down the bank and they'll jump.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
And then that's not how I found them, though. You know, and
that's a big South Florida thing.
Yeah, they'll drive around until they see them jumping.
Until they see them jumping.
Start fishing
and then start fishing for them.
But, you know, I mean, it was weird because from early spring, which I'm used to catching black drum, all the way through the summer, that was a staple, was nice black drum. And we'd go out and catch 10, 15 that were legal. We didn't keep that many, but, you know, we were catching 10 or 15 that were legal, catching some shorts, catching, you know, big whiting, you know, getting on the trout, getting on the redfish, and then they were all in the same area. And popping a flounder out of there every once in a while, too. So it was a good year. It was a really good year for different stuff. But I had to change my philosophy up, you know, and fish deep all year long.
Yeah, no, same here.
And that's, you know, I've just gotten to the point where with as many people that go into the backcountry, if you want to call it that, into the creeks, the fish are getting beat up really hard. Mm-hmm. And David Borries is a captain that taught me a lot about it years ago. He is a master of fishing roll down ledges. I mean, he can find when nobody else is catching fish, he'll be hammering them.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from him that if you work those deeper ledges, I'm convinced, and so is Dave, and so is a few other people, that there are big schools of fish that don't come up into the shallow water.
Agreed.
That stay deep.
100%.
And it's just a matter of locating where those fish are. And once you find them, you know, you can kind of target that same principle all over the place, and mm-hmm. you'll find them. You know, because they're, if you look at them, they're a different color. You know, they're darker generally. Yep. They're chunkier yep. a lot of times. You know, now that, I'm not saying they don't go up into the flats, but they've got plenty to feed on. You know, if you look at your bottom recorder or your depth recorder, whatever you want to call it, fish finder, you'll see those little pockets of bait. So there's, I know there's shrimp down there. There's small glass minnow, whatever they are. They've got plenty to feed on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that was Monday's situation. Exactly what you had just said. A normal dock that I fish down mm-hmm. around by the Bridge of Lions. And usually I tell them, you know, hey, pitch up towards the dock. It's got a slow roll down, you know, drop off. I mean, literally, if you threw up by the dock, it's maybe only like 3 feet, but then it goes to like 8 feet and then drops down to 15 on the bottom of it. Okay. And anyhow, we're not getting bites. I'm going, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way there's not yeah. a redfish here. I know this spot like the back of my hand. There's no reason. Did exactly what you said. So I started, instead of just letting it come down that ledge and just go, okay, well, they ain't there in 8 feet of water, done. I let it fall on that 15 foot, and it was at me and Chuck and his buddy Jack. And it was, I caught three. I mean, just like you said, chunky, gorgeous slot redfish.
Mm-hmm.
But damned if I didn't catch them, not where they're supposed to be. They were in that fast-moving water right on the bottom side of the ledge.
Well, that's what we've been doing this year is, you know, using the fish bites and the shrimp combos or the curly tail dirty boxer and throwing up current in the shallow and then sweeping it all yes. the way through. And then once we found, because you can pretty much tell how it's drifting and mm-hmm. where it is. And once we figured out the depth, then we just started adjusting and throwing at an angle off the bank more to cover that water depth more. And it was very productive, you know.
But it's so hard. We talk about this all the time. To try to understand it to our clients on how we do it. And because you and I have fished these spots enough,
yeah.
we know what the bottom is. I don't dive, so I'm just telling you, but I know what that jig head feels like. I can tell you if it's a shelly bottom, mm-hmm. oystery bottom, or if it's all sand.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a couple of pilings that are been broken off from previous hurricanes, and I always tell them, I said, there's two pilings right here underneath the water. Hopefully one of y'all will snag it. As soon as we snag it, then
you know
where your drift is and know how what's going on.
Yeah.
And damn if it always does, you know, something works out that way. But.
Well, I played around a lot with the jig heads I got from you, too, because I got the lighter, you call them the bananas.
Yep.
You got lighter banana jigs and the ones with the smaller hooks and then the ones with the larger hooks. And sometimes the black drum are difficult to get on a
yep.
bigger hook.
Yep.
So I'd switch down to it, and the big hooks were holding redfish up to 34 inches. So.
Right.
You know, I'm not real concerned about.
Right. No, then, no. And I do. And people always look at you and, well, why are you cutting off all these, you know, because exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll switch over to those quarter ounce stuff like that with a one-aught hook.
Yeah.
If I know that where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, and I just tell them, well, dang, if we hook a good redfish by accident with these, don't put a lot of heat on them because you're going to, because you will bend these hooks out on the one-aught hooks.
Plus with those hooks you have too that, you know, I can straight pull it off an oyster bar and bend the hook right back out and throw it right back out.
All right. We'll keep talking. I'm getting yelled at. We've got to take a break real quick. Folks, you're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
He doesn't yell at you.
Yeah, I know. Captain Chip Wingo, Captain Scott Shank. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingo, Captain Leon Dana's holding on the line because he wants to probably hear this too because the weather looks skunky. Hey, Leon.
Oh, I had a bunch of that fun today in that wind.
Oh, I moved mine till next week, which I don't know if it was a good decision or not. But I
well,
pulled the plug
I,
on
I
that
had,
one.
I had the great George in town from Birmingham, Alabama, and basically, hell or high water, we were going out.
Yeah,
I
get it.
It's not that bad yet, is it?
Okay, here we go. You ready? Hold on to your seats.
Bend it.
Northwest winds, that's tomorrow, Friday. Northwest winds, decreasing to 15 to 20 knots in the morning, then becoming north 10 to 15 in the afternoon.
Yay!
Yay! Saturday, northeast winds, 15 knots. Seas 3 to 5 feet. A moderate chop on the intercoastal waterways.
A moderate.
Sunday. That's why I'm not, yeah. Anyhow, Sunday. I got to fish on Sunday. Northeast winds, 5 to 10, becoming north in the afternoon. Okay, 3 to 4. Which, then Monday, hold on to your caps. Literally, like your ball caps. North winds, 15 to 20 knots with gusts to 30. Seas, 5 to 9 feet inshore.
Wait.
5 to 9 feet inshore.
Well, inshore meaning inshore 20, sorry.
Yeah, inshore 20 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, Leon will go anyway.
Yeah, Leon will fish in anything.
Send it.
Anyhow, yeah, it looks like, I mean, one, it's a great weekend. I mean, it is, you know, it is Florida-Georgia weekend, unfortunately.
No, it's been pushed back.
Huh?
They pushed it to the following week, did they not?
No. I thought it was this weekend.
I thought it was moved. That's why everybody canceled.
No, I just think they canceled all the RV park because of the COVID stuff. I think the game's this weekend. It better be because the Gators haven't played in 2 weeks. I got to see them. I'm starting to get a little jitters.
Which games?
Georgia-Florida.
Florida-Georgia game.
No, that's 2 weeks away.
It's 2 weeks away.
Oh, it is 2 weeks away?
Yeah, yeah, man. November 7th.
When did they move it?
That
was before the season started. They moved that.
Oh, really? I thought they did it just recently.
Nah, they switched up the Missouri and the LSU game, but they never switched up the Georgia game.
Because I had everybody scheduled for this week.
So is Florida, I mean, I know this is not playing in the fishing forecast, but does Florida play any of their makeup games this weekend then or no?
Yeah, they play Missouri this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, so they originally were going to have a bye this week before Georgia. Then they moved it to get rid of the LSU game, move that back, and they moved Missouri back because they had to stay into COVID protocols for another week. So they had 2 weeks off, and now they're going the rest of the season without a bye.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thanks, Michael.
What'd you catch today, Leon?
What bit?
Well, you know I wouldn't know the football schedules, Chip.
No, I said, what did you catch today?
Oh, let's see. Two catfish, a ladyfish, an undersized sea trout, and a rat red.
That was a consensus I got from the other two that fished today.
That's a normal charter for George, isn't it?
I'm not being mean, I'm just saying
he has bad luck sometimes with you.
No, so. we you're right, because George and I had that conversation. One out of four trips, we murder it. And the other three, it's like trying to hit a wiffle ball with our eyes closed.
Yeah, everybody said that today. Captain Rob Bennett didn't clean a fish. Captain Zach Timmons didn't clean a fish. You know, and I mean, you know, that's not good. Not good. So,
well,
I mean, it was just.
Those ties. You're sitting on a full moon right now.
Yeah.
A rocking wind. I couldn't go, but at, I think, 9, 8 a.m. this morning. So that was 2 hours before dead high tide in the valley. Everything was stacked against us. But still, he had a great time being in
town.
That's
awesome.
You know, seeing friends and family. That's all that matters, really.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because we're having, you know, there's, of course, we just got this little rain or whatever here for 5 minutes on my way up to the studio. But we got a little front coming through tonight.
Right.
That's going to get a little chilly in the morning. I mean, I think they're calling it like around 52 or something in the morning. And
tomorrow?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we kind of level out the playing field, but then we come right back with one Sunday afternoon, evening. That's the one that, I mean, it could get like really cold on Monday and 30-knot winds on Monday.
I wonder how much that'll drop the water temp.
I don't know, because it's still pretty warm. I mean,
last
day
today.
I fished. No, okay, because I was going to say, because on Monday, the last day I fished, that's what I had. I had out in the inlet, I had 80.6, and then back in the creeks, I had 82, 83.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Well, water clarity was pretty poor, I can tell you that much, in the valley.
Up in the valley? Now, St. Augustine's gotten pretty, dude. Oh, my gosh, St. Augustine's gotten pretty.
You found it cleaned up yesterday?
Oh, my gosh, yesterday. Yes. Yes. Saw well, flounders in 5 feet of water scoot away from me while I was trying to look for bait. Yeah.
There should be some down there still around 312.
Well, you know, I actually on Monday, too, like I was telling Chip before, that was probably the next fish that I'm actually disappointed in this year. I know, like, last year we complained of so many potato chips and stuff like that and all that. And I mean, not taking anything away from it because Chip Davis runs a fantastic tournament. But I was actually really surprised in the weights that placed in that tournament. For 157 boats. I mean, that's...
I only missed that weight by about 4 pounds.
Yeah, by 4 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, missed that weight by less than, I think, 4-tenths of an ounce. I guess 7.5 pounds, and the winning was
7.43 and 7.41 was first and second.
And I guess 7.5.
Which, don't get me wrong, that's a hell of a flounders. I'm not saying that, but it's just... To see then when it jumped down like 6.25 pounds, then mm-hmm. was third place. As our flounder year has gone this year, I really didn't think that you were going to see a bunch of fish, but I figured that top fish would have been around 9 pounds. I really honestly, truthfully figured 9 pounds.
There were fish that big caught all week before the tournament. There were fish caught 8, 9, 10.
Right.
So I just figured somebody would pop one out.
Because of that tournament, everybody fishes everywhere. It's Fernandine, you know, I mean, Fernandine is going off right now. I mean,
there's a lot of smaller fish up there, too, it seems like, instead of the monsters.
I mean, I can tell you because I haven't caught any down in so long because, you know, I missed one on Monday that I think had a potential.
Yeah. Well, I know that there were a lot of good fish on the little jetties this year, right there where the new little jetties mm-hmm. is. I call them the mattress.
Who was it? Somebody was telling me that you watched that guy. I think the third place fish come off of there.
Mattress pads is what I call it.
Yeah, the mattress pads.
But, in that tournament, it's, you know, it's luck, too. I mean, there's big fish in certain areas. There were guys fishing all the rocks.
But I think nobody could get offshore because it was rough, too.
Yeah, but no, they don't really go that far offshore to fish for them, though.
No, 3 or 4 or 5 miles, just like we do.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever caught one out there that's won it. I think they've all been caught inshore. Yeah. But all the jetties were on fire. You know,
hey, didn't the guy that won it was back-to-back, right?
Yeah, he won it last year, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. That's impressive.
So, yeah, wow, it is impressive. Pulled it off two in a row. So, yep, that's a positive. I mean, there's a couple guys that always do really well in that tournament. Yeah. So.
Well, looking forward to, you know, the next few weeks. If you're going to catch some good ones, it's going to be in the next couple, 2 weeks,
and
3 weeks.
You better get it in this year.
So. Yeah.
Yep. Wanting to close it down.
Yeah. I hope.
I'm hoping that's the only part of it they kick out is the closure.
That's the only part I agree to, too, is kick that out.
Because, I mean, I have a lot of friends that are commercial fishermen, and I have nothing against them. And I like the fact they're commercial fishermen. They make their money from the sea.
I don't want to have anything farmed.
But the fact that they want to open it up for commercial fishing with a 50 fish per person day limit. And then your charter captains, which boats are registered commercial, mm-hmm. can only take zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that part of it. You know, it's a big impact on everybody when they have mm-hmm. a closure, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I got the license in my pocket. I mean, I'm a commercial fisherman as well. I just don't have time anymore, but I mean,
so
I still hold
legitimately,
it.
You could actually fish for them.
Yes.
So.
Yep. Legitimately, I can because I have a commercial permit.
So you could be out there on charters pulling them in.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a loophole in that one, too, but, you know, so.
But, nope. Follow whatever. I mean,
I will say this. While we're on the subject of flounder,
yes,
Palm
sir.
Valley has got some Mac Daddy mud minnows in stock right now.
They always have the best bait.
Oh, I mean.
I wish I could have some. I need some for tomorrow.
They're nice.
You know, you need to pay your tolls anyhow. Bring me down like 2 dozen. That's all I need. 2 fat.
Well,
ones.
I'll be down tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
That's what time I'm starting.
I'll bring you down a couple dozen.
Bring me down 2 dozen. I just need 2 dozen. Hand pick them. I want good ones. I got
spot. You want hand selects, huh?
Yes. I don't want them huge. I just want
he
them.
Wants some, he wants
I want them about 2.5, 3 inches long.
Left fin swimming.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like NASCAR. I want them like NASCAR style.
I want the ones that go around the oyster bars on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boat, Leon?
Yeah, I moved it. Yep.
Gotcha. Did you get the cover?
I ain't got the cover yet. So. Gotcha. That'll be next week. But at least next I got a week. Good spot to tie up. I'm good spot to back up next to the power. So that's good.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah.
Roger that. Good.
Yeah, you've had a busy week. I'm surprised you even found any time to to fish at all.
Always got to find time to fish, boy. You know the fish.
So I thought about you, Leon, when I was up in Georgia. I was sitting on the couch with Skeeter, and all of a sudden this thing comes flying at me through the air and hits me in the head, and it was the blade off the ceiling fan.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
no
it broke.
Way.
It broke. The bar itself that holds it on snapped in the middle, and I'm like, Skeeter's like looking at me with, he rolls his eye, looking at me going, what was that? And I'm like, I look up, and of course it sounds like an aircraft aircraft taking off because the fan's wobbling so bad.
Yeah.
I was like, what are the odds of that thing just, if it would have been on and I wasn't there and it did it, it would probably rip that thing out of the ceiling. It was funny. But anyway.
You know, that happened to my parents. One of their blades broke off in the middle of the night. It flew across the room and went out the bedroom window.
Really?
My parents out. Yes.
Oh, it would have freaked me out, too, like somebody was breaking in.
Yeah, exactly what they thought.
Somebody's trying to break out.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're going to come down here, though, tomorrow? You're going to come and fish with me?
Oh, yeah. I'm coming down there.
Okay. All right.
Bring some bluegrass, and
I was going to say, they're still pecking away at them and stuff. We might be able to get out the inlet. I mean, it is going to be northwest, so we might be able to get out the inlet.
Man.
Fish bites crab chunks, Leon.
What's that, Chip?
Fish bites crab chunks.
Yeah.
That's all you need. You don't even need the crabs.
Good option.
So.
That's a real good option.
I mean, they're still biting them. They're all around those bridges. They're still catching bull reds and, handfuls of sloths and stuff like that. But what is the good thing that I know that we have seen a little up and coming has been the advancement of the rat reds and the rat trout have shown up. So
Well, the
that
rat
just
reds
keeps
have been
us
here
busy
for a couple weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, but the trout just showed up last week.
Yeah.
I mean, the trout just showed up. I mean, at least for me, when I just started catching them, I mean, it was like Friday or Sunday last week or something like that. They showed up.
That's
and I was
awesome.
Like, yes.
Right.
Thank goodness, popping corks. I don't care. I don't care if they're 14 and a half inches. I'm all good with it. As long as they bend the rod.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's been a struggle. It truly has. It's been tough with the with as dirty as water's been, and kind of like the lack thereof of the finger mullet.
Yeah,
well they've been decent. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Leon, they're all over three bars.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Leon, hold on. I'm gonna take a break real quick. Stay on the line though, because you and I fished together on Monday, and when we come back, let's talk about our day on Monday. Folks, listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingo, Captain Leon Danis, standing by. Be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
I love that place.
Tire Outlet
is bomb. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingos.
Leon Dana.
We got the whole crew. All right, Leon, I'm going to preempt this little situation of Monday. Are you ready?
Well, I'll start off by saying I went and saw Danny today over at Tire Outlet. He pulled two nails out of the right rear tire and one nail out of the right front tire of my truck
Good
today.
Gosh.
And I can't thank them enough.
Yeah, it went from the old house?
I don't know where they came from, but my goodness, I was losing 10 pounds a day out of that right rear.
Yeah, you think?
He fixed it up real quick.
I just haven't, every other day I'm working, I just haven't picked a day, and I was thinking.
I was thinking,
what?
Danny needs to see you, he said.
Yeah, no, I'm, my intent was, folks, this Saturday, of course, Jeff Loggeman and Captain Kirk Waltz will not be around this weekend. They're going to be hunting. And so you and I are filling in for them on the Saturday morning show.
Yeah.
So originally, my game plan was, well, hell, we're coming up here anyhow, so I'll call Danny. Danny will meet me here at 6:45, take my truck. We got 3.5 hours as we do the show.
There
I'll
you
get
go.
Me some new tires in the front end. And then I got a phone call from Kevin, and Kevin goes, "Hey, good news." I said, "What's the good news?" He said, "We're doing it from the house." He said, "You guys just meet me at the house." Because we always
good news for you.
Yeah, do the Thursday night show from the Favor studio and of the Moe's Southwest Grill.
That's the Flavor Fave studio. Yeah,
anyhow, so it was like, damn it. I had a game plan set up in that.
Well, they have one in St. Augustine, don't they?
Yeah, but he can't. He's got to take it up here to Southside to put it front to do my lift. Put me in a lift.
Yeah, the leveler kit.
Leveler kit, whatever you want to call it.
The nice thing about them is you go in, they warranty all their work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had, Leon, you know, I had that problem with the front end.
Yep.
Probably from hitting something in Georgia, you know, a pothole or whatever, you know. And took it into them, and bam, 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 I was done. And they handed me the bill, and it said zero. And I was like, sweet.
Thank you.
That's my favorite number.
But, yeah. So
yeah, no. That is.
So, back to Monday.
Right. All right, so back to Monday. So, Leon calls me. My wife hates it, especially on the days she's off, because my phone starts, like, at 6 o'clock in the morning. It starts ringing. Everybody's checking in and all that kind of stuff. So, Leon calls and says, "What time are you starting?" I said, I'm starting early. I'm starting at 7:30. I said, as soon as I can see enough daylight, I'm going to throw the net, hopefully catch a few finger mullet down here. Well, where are you catching them at? Because it's dead high water on where we started on Monday. And I said, I got a little spot leaving a boat ramp. It's a little sand, little like almost like a walkway that people come down and maybe drop a kayak or whatever in the water by the boat ramp there in the St. Augustine South. And usually right there early in the morning, nobody's been in yet. I'm the first boat at the ramp, and
no,
they just lay on the bank right there, and you'll just see them like flicker every now and again. So I ease up there, always got the net ready, and I look, and I went, oh, boy. And there they were, laying in about 2 inches of water, and it's grass on each side with like a six-foot gap, let's say.
Yeah.
And, dude, I just laid that. I opened the net like you're supposed to open the net, Chip.
Yeah.
And I made a complete circle with it, and I threw the net on them. And anyhow, I had like 50 of like,
loaded,
you know, like knuckle mullets. And it was like, oh. So anyhow, moving on. So I tell Lee, so Leon calls me again or whatever. And I found a few mullet. When you get down here, I got some if you need it, you know, whatever. And so we both steam back down south to fish south to 312. And we're basically fishing the same bank. And Chip, when I tell you it was just wave after wave after wave after wave of finger mullet, now wonder why me and Leon could. I think he caught one flounder there, one decent flounder that he got hit in the face with. but that was it. We could not get. There was so daggum many mullet down there. I mean, if you opened up a net, you couldn't pull it in.
Yeah,
right.
It was just. Am I right, Leon? It was incredible, wasn't it? And the jacks were in it. We did not see any tarpon. I'm surprised. It was all jacks.
Right.
That's the way it was up at Nassau the other day.
I mean, just it was
Nassau Sound,
but they weren't in North River that way.
Yeah,
they were only south. They were only down there, you know, anything south. That's all they were.
Yeah.
They were from there all the way down to 206 because I fished that. I fished all the way down on. I fished from 312 to 206 on Monday, and they were just. But then when you can hear everybody else calling me and stuff like that, man, have you found any mold? I said, I got all I need. I said, how many do you want? Where are you at?
Here.
I said, they're right here. I mean, so. Next thing you know, here comes the charge of boats, kind of like when you find a pogey pod.
Yeah.
You know, because they were struggling. They couldn't find any. Because it's gotten bad to where, I guess, you guys all, and this is why I wanted those, just two dozen of them. I got a few docks that I want to flounder fish, but the daggum little mangoes and pinfish have gotten so freaking bad, you can't throw shrimp around those docks. I mean,
the mangroves will snack
you can't throw mud in it.
Well, they will, but I mean, at least eat the tails on. I mean, you can pull it away. You know it's a mango when he eats it, and you kind of pull it away from him. But I'm just saying, there's a couple of docks. That's all I want. I just need two dozen, you know, and that's all I need. I got two people tomorrow, and that's all I need to try to do a little flounder fishing and stuff like that. But that's all I'm looking. That's all I'm looking for, Leon, is a couple dozen.
Right.
It should be good.
But
tomorrow should be a nice day.
I think we're all right. We'll see what this.
Northwest wind will be nice.
Yeah. We'll see
tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big fan of north winds, but I mean, whatever. We'll see what happens. No, we can't do any worse than what everybody did today. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're considering cleaning gaff topsails, it's been a pretty crappy day.
Yes, sir. I agree. When you're
lazy fish. You're trying to convince yourself that it is okay to eat a jack.
The ladyfish, you can't You have to spoon out the meat.
Yes, yes. Right. Yes. Because you got to make balls out of them.
Yeah, because they have balls. Hair bones in them.
Yep.
I've seen people make fish balls and cakes and stuff like that out of them.
I'm hoping that maybe tomorrow that things will start changing. We get a little cooler water temperatures, and I think that's what we're all waiting on, right? 72 to 74? Guys look for?
I'm ready to start trout and snook fishing.
No, it's 72 to 74, right?
Sheep's head are here, Leon.
No, I mean St. Augustine sheep's really fire them up.
Well, they're fired up north right now.
Yeah, they are.
They're clobbering them. And they're all in the grass in Palm Valley, so you know they've got to be on. You need to hit that deep hole where we got on them really good last year and check it out.
Did you talk to Palm Valley Tom? Yesterday, he caught 5 bulls in the valley.
No. Same spot.
That's pretty interesting. I don't know where it is. He's hit and miss. He's in Missouri. He left for Missouri today.
I've been able to reach him. Yeah, I know where he's at. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll tell you where he's catching them at. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They're all up there. You just have to, it's the deeper sections.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and they're at that other spot, too. So.
Now, let me ask both of you guys, because you guys fish dirty water. I'm kind of a, you know, I get spooked whenever I get spooked whenever I see the water that we've had in St. Augustine the last week. Okay. Do you really feel as though a fish is like a person? I mean, do you think their eyes get adjusted? What's the difference?
We fish dirty water all the time and catch fish. That's why I pop the heads on shrimp. That's why I use fish bites.
I get it.
But it doesn't affect us as much unless it's been rain, super heavy-duty rain.
Right.
And then you just got to go deeper, you know. Right.
But as we all know, St. Augustine last week was chocolate milk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as bad as what you want it to be bad. I mean, if you really didn't hit the fish on the head or... You know, like you said, popping either the tail off of the shrimp or the head off the shrimp, you know.
That's where I think the fish bites come in so well because of the fact that they can smell it.
I agree.
And it stimulates a bite. But, Leon, you look at the creeks we fish. It's always dirty back in those creeks when we're fishing them. They're never really clean. You know, they're deep holes and it's dirty water from the tide flushing.
But is he hearing that jig head click off that oyster? To make it sound like a crab claw?
Well, I think they've, you know, between the flash, the sound, you know, vibration also, and the scent, I think, you know, the dirty water, I don't think they care. They feed at night. So, you know, it's like.
Now, speak of that, if you're going to talk about color, because we are getting into that time of year because the trout are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more people are going to start, you know, doing the old trout touty thing and throwing a lot more artificial and all that kind of stuff. Because there are so many 14 and a half inch trout, if you were to go, you go through what, Leon, 20, 25 dozen baits in a 4-hour day if once these little trout start kicking off. With that being said, we fish basically just lead headed jig heads. They're really not painted. Okay. I used to do that and I got away from it. But when I throw artificials, I match the hatch.
Right.
If I'm throwing like a white tail or chartreuse tail, I'll throw a white jig head.
Gotcha.
Red, you know, root beer-ish or, you know, something like that. I'll throw a reddish, you know, a red jig head. You know, white and chartreuse, you know, all that. I mean, do you believe in?
I just believe in the bait I'm throwing. Because remember last year, Leon, this time when we were throwing the fish bites paddle tails, getting ready for the tournament?
Yep.
And we were hammering those trout, those big trout and the redfish with them. And it was just throwing it up in shallow water on oyster bars and snapping it.
So it didn't.
Right.
So you're telling me it didn't matter if it was a lead head or if it was painted or not.
Didn't matter. It was all about the bait itself.
Okay.
You know, and we were throwing what, white and chartreuse.
That's correct.
Yep. And that's when we started zip tying them on there. We could catch
now,
so many
now
fish.
How about those jig heads? I was thinking about trying them. That where you could put like a little tiny spinner blade on the bottom of it.
Yeah, I mean, if
you... Like a little baby spinner blade, you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you think that even working live bait with that jig head, that would matter?
Style?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe 100% if you give me a bait and I'm confident in it and it's an artificial, I'm going to catch fish on it because I'm going to fish it.
All right, I get
it. So if that little flash you feel comfortable with...
But I'm not talking about me and you. We got to pick this up of... Clients from the Midwest, clients from California, I mean, that never throw it's, artificials. The art of artificial fishing, there is one heck of an art to it. And
it's not that bad, though, with soft plastics because they're very forgiving. Tell them, throw it out, pop the rod tip up, take up your slack, let it fall, pop it up. You know, they can do that way. They can throw it, slow roll it. You know, you can, with the paddle tail or with the curly tails. You know, I'm not putting a novice with a topwater plug on.
No.
You know, dive bombing. But, I mean, Leon takes some guys out who are artificial fish. And Leon likes – what is – you like the curly tails, and what other bait do you like, Leon?
I do like to fish that – I do like to fish the paddle tail, the dark color with the chartreuse. And I'll fish as light of a jig head as I can work so that it works slowly through the water column. Yeah. I really like doing that. But that's primarily wintertime fishing for me.
Yeah, that's right. Which I'm coming up to.
When
another
it gets
month.
Cold.
Another month.
When it gets cold, you have to go slow down. That's where the 52M comes in.
Right.
Where you're just throwing it, barely moving it.
Yep.
Every one of them. But that's when I'm going to start going with the 30 boxer with a 16th ounce jig head.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, as light as I can possibly get on it and flip it up there and just let it, you know, slowly fall down to the bottom and move it. And they'll usually pick it up on the fall anyway. So, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thanks, Leon. Appreciate you coming back. See you in the morning. All right, buddy.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye, brother.
Folks, you're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shake, Captain Chip Wingo. We got one more small segment to go. Be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Got a couple minutes left real quick. We got somebody that called in. Let's talk to Harold this evening. Harold, good evening.
How about it, Scott?
Captain How Chip? Are you, sir?
Time
good, buddy. Good. You've already addressed a couple of points that I wanted to make tonight about the water temp. You know, I'm a big oyster guy. I like to go get oysters. And this 80-something or other with tannic water, I'm like, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, when is this going to – when do y'all forecast this water to get a little cooler and, you know?
Okay. All right. Let me answer that real quick, and it's easy. Go to MyFWC.
Yeah.
Okay. Type in our county, St. John's County. Okay.
Yeah.
They have people that go out every other day and take water quality samples, and they tell you where the oyster zones are that are open for harvest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been there.
First of all, that's the safest thing to do. Okay. Second of all,
exactly.
I'm just telling you right now, I ain't no big fan right now with 80 degree water temperature still making it, you know, to try to eat an oyster. I don't even care if I'm cooking. I'm not eating any right now.
Should only take
with
about
chocolate milk water,
days.
Yes.
You know, that's
not,
just me, Harold.
Not a chance.
That's
not a
just
chance.
Me.
Not a chance.
I've been sick one time and it ugly. I don't want to do
It'll
it again.
It won't
yeah, I don't want to do it again. Place. Yeah.
But what do you think? Mid November, maybe? What's
yes.
Going on?
Yes. I mean, we got enough cool mornings coming up here and looking at the long range forecast and stuff, what our local news channels are telling us. I mean, we have a couple this week. I mean, you got two or three mornings with 47 degrees. We're going to get away from all this rain and stuff like that. And we're going to start getting shortly where it's crystal, you know, all that area around Salt Run, up and around, where else you can get them is like by Robinson Creek and, by Pancho. All that, you're going to start, you know, once that water gets where you can look down 3 or 4 feet of water and it's 72 degrees, I'm all in.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm out.
We need some negative low tides also, you know.
That'll be coming. We got one more round coming next week. We got one more round of 6.4s coming next week.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Poor guys, I don't want to hold you up. I know we're at the end of the session, but, man, I love your show. My family members make fun of me because my alarm goes off every Saturday morning at 6:45 and 7:45 on Thursday nights, and they're going up.
Awesome.
We can't talk bad for a little while.
Well, listen right here, because you might as well close it out with us. Look, Saturday morning, you're going to listen to Captain Kevin Favor, Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingo, because Logs and Kirk are going to be doing some R&D, so they're out. So, anyhow, unfortunately, you got B-Team. You got B-Team
That's
Saturday
right.
morning from 7 to 10.
I wouldn't even say that, man. I learned so much from you guys on the show, and that's why I listen. I mean, every session, I learn something from you dudes, and it's so inspiring. Like, that's why.
Well, we appreciate it, dude, because it is our passion. We've all done it long enough. Thanks, Harold. I appreciate the check in tonight, folks. You've been listening to Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingo. Well, let's see y'all on Saturday mornings. From 7 to 10. See ya.
See ya. See you again.